Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
What up, y'all? We back after a 1 week hiatus. This is Brother Kev, aka Cosmic Kev, in the building.
And this is Rigel in the building.
What's cracking, family? This is Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio, y'all. We are back, family. We took a week off last week for the ritual known as the Super Bowl. But we back. We back here to chop it up and, you know, have a good dialogue with the family. This is not a spectator sport here at Collective Minds, so we welcome all the fans because we ain't all got to think alike, but we all got to think. And before we hop into the show, do y'all have any announcements? And, you know, how was y'all 2 weeks off? It's been a minute since I hollered at the fam. What's going on, y'all? How y'all feeling?
I know. Feeling good. It's been very, very busy these last 2 weeks. They went by so fast because it's been just so busy. But I don't believe I have any announcements today.
Right, my brother Mufasa.
I want to agree with Sister Rigel. It has been, definitely been, a busy 2 weeks, even though we didn't get together and chop it up last weekend. It has been busy. So all you Patriots fans, congratulations. Your team won again. Woo-wee. You know.
Well, I told you guys.
No surprises there.
Yeah. Coming in the next year, I'm going to break all that up, though, because I'm going to be a Patriots fan next year, and I'm going to make sure they lose. I'm going to be a Patriots fan, and I'm going to jinx that team from beginning to end. Y'all going down next year.
Another announcement.
I want to give a shout-out to my niece, Micah, and a shout-out to that awesome glass of tea she received yesterday from her mother. Because I know her mother took a lot of care and effort and concern in that glass of tea, because she could not do anything else all day but make that glass of tea. So shout out to my niece and that glass of tea made by her mother, Sister Rigel.
Yes, indeed. Shout out to that tea. That sounded like some fire tea, boy. That was.
Shout out to
it. Like it was nicely brewed.
I almost drank it up along the way because I took it to her and I almost took a sip out of it. In fact, I may have stolen a sip in the car.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, all jokes aside, Sister Rigel is a fantastic mother and I commend her and applaud her for how she takes care of her kids.
That's right.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Salute the Sister Rigel. That's right. Yes, indeed. So, yeah, we got a good show for y'all this week. We're talking about the State of the Union and just politics in general as we head into 2020. But before we get into that, we got to get into something that's been hot on the press this week, y'all. There's been a lot of stuff going on with blackface controversy. So if, you know, for anybody that's been under a rock and not on social media, haven't been paying attention, First, I believe the governor of Virginia, who is named Ralph Northam, he had some blackface photos come up in his medical yearbook from 1984. Now, this was on his particular yearbook page. It has his name. First, he came out and said it wasn't him. First he came out and said it was him and apologized. Then he came out and said it wasn't him. Right. So now a lot of people in the Democratic Party are calling for him to resign. Blah, blah, blah. You know how that go. All right. Then the Attorney General, also of Virginia, this guy named Mark Herron, admitted to wearing blackface in college as well. Okay. Now keep that in mind. Then, now this is all Black History Month, mind you. Today is the February 10th, so this is all happening in Black History Month. Just keep that in mind. Then, a few days ago, Gucci issued an apology because they released a blackface turtleneck sweater. And it's just been going crazy online. You got some stuff that popped up with Prada a few months ago. You guys might remember. Prada had some keychains and some different type of items that had blackface. Then you got Moncler, who had a jacket and some shoes with blackface. So it's just been a lot of stuff with this blackface in the news, y'all. So I need y'all to talk to me and tell me what's going on. Like, are these accidents, or are they trying to send a message to Black people? Somebody talk to me. What's going on, y'all?
Mm-hmm.
What's really happening? What do y'all think is going on here? Because this is all coming, like I say, within the last couple weeks or so, all this stuff is coming out. Now, this has been building up. Go ahead.
What do you think is going on?
Well, I think it's very deliberate. I think as far as the fashion designers, what they're doing is they're basically trying to tell Black people to stop wearing their clothes. And when I say Black people, I'm being nice. They're saying niggas, they don't want niggas wearing their clothes. Now, when it comes to the history of blackface, which I had to do my Googles on, this has been a long-running theme in white culture, right? So for those that don't know, blackface was part of these minstrel shows that started in like the 1800s and really kind of blew up in the mid-1800s going into the 1900s, where they would dress up in blackface. White people would dress up in blackface to make fun of Black people, you know, the way they dance, basically to dehumanize Black people. And this has been a long-running theme in Black culture, in white culture, starting in the 1800s. So I think it's a way to make fun of Black people. It's a way to dehumanize Black people. You know, it's a way to basically put them on a lower pedestal, and you do that through images. You see what I'm saying? Because they used to use blackface to sell products like soap, toothpaste, different type of household products, and they would just put black faces on them. And basically a mockery of Black people in slavery and coming out of slavery, you see. So they would have the big smile, the big teeth, eating watermelons and things like that. Then you had Al Jolson, who was he was a Jewish guy. He was one of the most famous minstrel guys that used to wear blackface. So I think what it is now I'm going to go from Brother Kev to Cosmic Kev, right? Cosmic Kev is saying that Black people are waking up, we're getting on code, so all these blackface that's coming, especially in Black History Month, is a way to distract Black people and get us off task and what we're trying to build. You see what I'm saying? Because, I'm noticing a lot of things online as far as the collective, we use a collective, the collective mind state of Black people, I see is rising in consciousness. And this is an attack on that,
you know, to get black people distracted, to get black people mad, upset, what have you, in order to kind of throw us off what we should be on, which is getting on code. You see what I'm saying? So as far as that design is, I think it's very deliberate. I think they knew what they was doing. You got to remember, we're dealing with, these are Roman designers, Greco-Roman in Italy. You know, Gucci is an Italian family, Moncler, Prada. All of these are Roman designers that really, they don't mess with black people, let's be honest. You see what I'm saying? And they feel like black people are bringing down the value of those high-end brands. So, you know, they just put blackface on there to kind of, you know, send a message like, hey, we don't want you niggas wearing our stuff, period. So that's what I think going on, but, you know, I want to hear what y'all think. What do y'all think going on?
I mean, you know what? It's like, for me anyway, we can come up with all kind of reasons why they're doing it. More than likely, they're right on the money. You know, there's so many different reasons why they do it. You know what I'm saying? But ideally, what the end result is always the same thing anyway. You know, how the black community end up being affected, you know, by it. But I just think that if someone is doing that, why support them? It shouldn't even be that hard of a thing to decide to do. It shouldn't call for big meetings and big protests. It shouldn't call for none of that. It's just a choice. Just stop supporting it.
There you go.
You know?
And that brings me to my comment of, because I don't want to stay on this too long, because I know people wanted to talk about this Trump deal. So real quickly, I congratulate what these people are doing. I congratulate Gucci for what they did, because maybe this is what it takes to slap black people in the face to get them to start supporting their own. And by golly, if I can't, I'm tired of preaching it. A lot of people been preaching, do for self, buy your own. But we don't want to listen. We don't want to take heed. So maybe once these white designers and other, you know, other nationality designers keep slapping you in your face, showing you what time it is, maybe we'll wake up and start supporting our own. That don't mean we got to hate other people's brands, but we should support our own brand and support our own culture. That's what I get out the whole deal. Support your own. And I went on real quickly, like I went online and just typed in, you know, black-owned clothing lines, and found several clothing designers that all these entertainers, rappers, singers, whoever, just average Joe, can divert your money and go that route. You know, spend with your own. Spend with your own. Build up your own network. Support your own people. That's what I say on that without going too deep into the conversation.
Right. Yes, indeed. And I definitely agree with that. And, you know, I really don't have a problem with it either, because, you know, I feel like we shouldn't have been wearing that stuff in the first place anyway. You see what I'm saying? Like, all that stuff is out of my tax bracket, so I don't even buy Gucci, Prada, none of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. And knowing the history and what we're dealing with, it's like, why even support that? And then with this, if you continue to support, then, hey, that's on you. You deserve whatever is coming to you, you know, from those type of people. But real quick, T.I. and Spike Lee was calling for a boycott of Gucci. Because, you know, Gucci was the brand where mugs felt like they made it. You know, if you was in the industry or entertainment or whatever, you got some money, you was a black person, and you got some Gucci, that was a symbol of making, kind of like the Benz is to mugs. You know what I'm saying? Like, these brands and these items, we're looking, because a lot of it comes from the trauma that we've experienced from slavery up to now. We're looking to be accepted. We're trying to stunt. You see what I'm saying? Actually, we're trying to stunt on other black people, because white people don't care if you got a Benz
rocking Gucci or nothing. You just a nigga in a band. You know what I'm saying? So we're trying to stunt for other black people, which is the wrong idea. We need to be on code and not even tripping off them brands, because the brands don't make the people. We make the brands. You dig what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's what it is. That's been hot on the news, I'm sure. You know, a lot of people have been following that situation, but they are calling for that boycott. It's a three-month boycott. I don't know what's the significance of 3 months. I think it should be a lifetime ban. There's really no coming back from this. You know what I'm saying? So
that's stupid.
Yeah, we just gotta get on code. You feel what I'm saying?
We can't get off the
pit. Don't support them brands.
We just can't pop off the pit.
That's what it seemed like, my brother. That's what it seemed like. So, yeah, moving right along, I guess we can go to the State of the Union that happened this last Tuesday. Trump, I guess this was his, second or third State of the Union. And it was a lot of stuff on the table, you know what I'm saying, because just coming off the heels of the government shutdown. And then he reopened the government, so it's open for 3 weeks. And he was trying to make a case to where, if he doesn't get what he wants as far as the wall, that he may shut it down again, shut the government down again, or he may declare an emergency, a state of emergency, to where he could just get the funding and build a wall. But he touched on a lot of things in the State of the Union. The Democrats had a response. They had Stacey Abrams, who was running for governor of Georgia. She did the Democratic response. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the black agenda. We're going to talk about just the state of politics overall as we head into 2020, because a lot of candidates are throwing their hat in the ring to run for president. And we just go chop it up. So give us a call, family. The number is 929-477-1697 is Collective Minds Radio. We are talking about the State of the Union and overall politics heading into 2020. Now, did y'all get a chance to check out the State of the Union, Rigel and Mufasa? Did y'all check it out?
I did. I didn't check out the whole entire thing, but I checked out most of it. More than half of it. I think I just got down to Stacey Abrams part, and I had to cut it off right there. And I never returned.
I never returned.
I did have intentions on returning, but I had to stop it right at her, because the direction that she was going, I realized I wasn't following it well enough. So I said, you know what, before I form, an unfair decision about this, I said, let me, give her a fair shot, stop it, and rewind it, and just listen, because I felt like I needed to be focused in. And but I never returned,
Okay, yes, indeed. Well, I guess, we'll just go one by one, Roger. From what you saw with the State of the Union, not even going to the rebuttal yet, but just with the State of the Union that Trump gave, what were your thoughts on that?
Well, he's an interesting guy. The most thing that that stood out for me is when he was basically telling them to stop investigation. Don't investigate me.
You remember how he said it?
Yeah.
If you don't remember.
Okay, go right ahead. Yeah.
Let me see here. I know right I got ahead. It because you had said something to me about it. I got to go back a little bit here. And we were like, well, let's just hold on before we say something about that.
He said if there's going to be peace and legislation, there cannot be war and investigation.
There you go.
I say, if that's not some slick talk, I don't know if anybody took my phone, but that was actually around the 47-minute mark. Yeah, mm-hmm. from 47 or 48, somewhere up in there. But yeah, I thought that part stood out to me. It actually was a few others, but that was the main thing that I can remember about it. But you know, it is what it is when it comes to him, and you know, as far as how he speaks and all that, his things that he talked about to me was very flat. They wasn't moving, you know. He invited some special guests up there that he announced, and you know, the lady who he helped get awarded the amnesty for when she got out of prison, that Kim talked to him about, had her there and other guests there, you know. And it was like, it was just a little, that was great and all, but I think that was he emphasized it too much. I don't know if he didn't have nothing else to talk about or what, but I think he emphasized those things too much and not really on some real key things to me. So that's pretty much how it is. But I'm not surprised, you know, none of that surprised me with him either, you know.
Do you think he did a good job? You think he did a good job overall with how he orchestrated the whole State of the Union? You think he came off, you know, presidential? I know you got an issue with the way he carried himself. That's why I was asking you that.
Yeah, I do. You know, as far as that particular time that he did that, I guess he didn't go Suge Knight on anybody at their moment. So it wouldn't be fair to say, you know, he pulled out a pistol and told somebody to get the, you know, what out. No, he didn't behave that way at that time. But, you know, he was just himself. What do you want me to say that he did a very great job and, you know, he's a nice guy after all. I mean, he's looking for something.
No, I want you to be you. I want you to be you. I think he did a good job.
He came off, you know.
Overall, he did a good job. You know, the comments about the border wall. Well, he also was. Well, let's talk about the border wall situation first. You know, he basically, what's her name, Nancy? That's her name. You know, he gestured to her and let it be known that, hey, we can sit down, we're going to make this thing happen. But he is still stern on getting that physical border up. And when he had the family there, Brother Kid going to love this, we had the family there, the victims of that Mexican dude, the MX-13 cat who had killed their family. I thought that was that needed to be seen, because people don't understand that just because we don't see the terrors of these illegal immigrants, it don't mean that it's not happening. Don't mean that it's not going down. So he also brought up a point, or it was either him or somewhere else, somebody I know that said this to me. In places like El Paso, where they got a border wall up, it has brought down the amount of crime. People can live there in peace because the physical barrier helps things out. You see what I'm saying? It helps out with the situation. So,
yeah.
I agree. I'm glad that he is standing on what he believes in, what he was voted in on about the physical wall. It is a necessity. We need that physical barrier.
Can I respond to something you just said?
Mm-hmm.
Now, because I know we had this discussion before, so I want to be clear that, and I think I'm speaking for Brother Cameron. I don't know, but I'll allow him to speak for himself. But I'm not saying that the wall is a stupid thing to have. It's unnecessary. It does not work. My thing was, is it worth shutting the government down over it? You know, is it worth to, you know, these, to take these drastic steps to do it? It's so many other things that can help too for us. It's not just the wall that can make us better. It's a lot of things that can make us better and to decrease crime. So I'm saying, what is it about the wall that, you know, that he wants to shut things down and take drastic steps in order to get it? So that's my only concern about it. It's not like the wall is dumb, and I say that the wall is not necessary or it don't help. It's, you know, I'm not saying those things. I'm not, you know, trying to downgrade the wall and what. So it's great, he can bring it up, but he never addressed my concern, which is, why is this so, you know, what is the big deal about this when it's other things he can address as well that would be just as equally helpful to the country. And I'm also sure that crime happens a lot, you know, so. Yeah, just because he brought the one guy out to try to say yes, you know, I was a victim of no wall. So it's like it's
right.
That's just one guy.
Right.
So
even still,
is it worth all of that? You know.
Right, because here's the thing. As I pointed out last time, and we have to stay with the facts. There is no correlation between illegal immigrants and rising crime. He brought out one incident that coincidentally happened a week before his State of the Union. Now, let me be clear, because I'm not caping for immigration, because I think immigration is bad for the black community, which I'm a black man, I'm speaking for the black community. Immigration is bad for the black community. My problem is when you talk about the wall, okay, if you need a wall, that's fine, but don't lie and say you need a wall to prevent crime and drugs coming into the country, because that is completely false. That's just incorrect and not true. You see what I'm saying? So that's where my stance is with it. So, you know, we just can't, just because you brought an example, you can always find an example of some crime, but the facts show, again, that illegal immigration does not, there's no rise in crime when you have illegal immigrants coming over here. That's just not what the facts or the numbers show.
But, you know, we talked about this when we did that show, too. Why is it so important to not have the wall? I mean, why is there such a big pushback of not having it? Because I see when you lay out the pros and the cons of to have or not have, to me, it makes more sense to have it than to not have it. Why are we fighting so hard to not just go ahead and agree with putting it up and building the wall? What's the big deal?
Right. You would have to ask, you know, the Democrats.
I can answer
many,
that.
Yeah, go ahead.
She put up Maxine Waterfinger. Come on, Maxine.
I'm going to answer the question for me. So it's more so, it's not about why not. Is the wall just, it's not there already. So he's bringing this up, you know. So it's like the question is posed to him because he initiated the action. The wall ain't there now. It ain't been there. He won't one there. So the question is posed to him. You can't, just because he busts up out the blue talking about, yeah, I won't do. And then you want to look at the other people like, why y'all ain't giving him what he wants? Why he coming up to us talking about this? He the one initiated the action. So I don't think that's a fair question to say, well, why they won't give him the wall? He initiated the action. The question is, why does he want it so bad that he's willing to do these things in order to force somebody to get it? And then why is he forcing somebody, the wall not there, it would be different if the wall was there and he want to knock it down. He want to put one there. To me, that's a little bit,
right, and this
you
is,
know.
Right. And this is the reality, too. We know that walls do not stop people from crossing the border. If you really want to be effective in stopping people from crossing the border, you need more manpower and you need better technology. Like, that is what, you know, the people are saying as far as the border goes. If you want to stop people, you need manpower, which means more people patrolling the borders, and you need better technology, meaning drones, cameras, and things of that nature. The wall particularly is a symbol. You know, I think it's since he ran on that campaign of putting up the wall, that's one of his big things that he wants to complete. But it's not going to be that effective in stopping, especially the drugs coming through, because as I pointed out on the last show, the drugs come through usually through legal means. They come through border checkpoints. Most of the heroin that comes in this country via Mexico come through legal checkpoints. So the wall is not going to stop that. So that's my problem with it. His whole narrative and reasoning for the wall is just not really adding up. But again, as a black person, I don't support immigration because it does nothing but harm the black community. So I want to put that out there.
All right. Well, hold on. Go ahead. I didn't catch y'all. Go ahead.
No. That was it. I was just going to say that. But did you want to touch on something else he was speaking on?
Well, I wanted to say someone just sent me a message saying that the wall also will bring in jobs. It's almost like, upgrading your home and more value to it. I just got a message. I was just throwing it out there.
Yeah, and the steel companies, you know, that we got here, the American steel companies is producing that steel. Yeah, that's jobs to put the wall up. Yeah, I mean, to me, that's win-win.
Yeah, I knew Mufasa was going to like that.
Let me bring up another good point for me with the State of the Union address. I love the wall. Bring up that wall. But the criminal justice reform, let's talk about that. I'm down with the criminal justice reform. You know, Alice Johnson, he had her there at the State of the Union address. And people who don't know, Alice Johnson was a black grandmother. She was granted clemency by President Trump. She was convicted of drug conspiracy and money laundering in 1996. She served 21 years of a mandatory life sentence. So she also was made famous because that's who Kim Kardashian had lobbied to Trump to, reduce her sentence. So you had that. He brought her out. And then there was another man that was brought out. I'm not too familiar with his story. I had to pull it up. But he was released from prison early as a part of the First Step Act. And if y'all remember, I brought that up a couple of shows ago, too, that First Step Act was going to be big on bringing inmates home early. So that was a gentleman there at the State Union who he was the first one to, get released because of that First Step Act. Were y'all familiar with those two, people being there? What y'all feel about that? About the criminal justice reform that Trump has made moves on.
Brother Kevin, you want to go there?
Yeah, I go real quick. For me, I'm a little more skeptical and cynical. Now, I think it's great, that those people got out of jail because I don't wish that, on anyone. However, it was just a symbolic gesture, because we do know that via the crime bill and the 94 crime bill that Bill Clinton put in place, we're talking about millions of people and families affected by these draconian drug laws that was put in place. You see what I'm saying? So releasing 1, 2, 1,000, that's good for them. But we're talking about people who should have never been given these long sentences in the first place. And we're talking, again, up into the millions and millions of people, you see. So I think.
But I mean, without this movement, though.
Just symbolic.
But without that, those people would still be locked up, though. I mean, this is going. I get you that, yeah, they shouldn't have been there. This is true. They should not have been there.
Right.
But without these type of policies put in place, not only will those people still be there, but even more people will suffer because of it.
Well, here's the thing. What are we doing? He brought out two people that he granted pardons to.
Yeah, so, but that first step back, that's just the beginning. That was just the first person who, you know, who was able to benefit from the first step act. That's the first person. I mean, that's going to benefit many more people across the country.
Right. Now, when you say many more, let's do some numbers, because we can do the numbers as far as how many people have been affected, nonviolent criminals who are locked up. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people. You see what I'm saying? You know, I've yet to see, you know, what the First Step Act is going to produce. So it could possibly produce some good things. You know, anytime somebody gets out of jail, that's a good thing. You know, my thing is, don't make it seem like it's some type of victory for black people, because criminal justice reform, we got to look at that and look at the terms and the language that they use. You know what I mean? What exactly is that? Like, what does it really mean? You know what I'm saying? Like,
that means that when you got a jacked up policy that was put in place by the Clinton administration, you can reform that, you can change that. Something has to be put in place to reverse those bad policies. And this First Step Act is one of the things, the beginning of the things to counteract such a messed up policy. So, I mean, that is a good, if you don't have that in place, it just stays the same. So I know that you want to see, you know, bigger change. And of course I do too, but that's why it's called First Step, because that is the first step. I mean, you have to take a step. You don't always just take, you know, you don't jump 100 steps at one time. You got to at least take a step and get the ball rolling.
You jumped 100 steps back. But listen to this. You jumped 100 steps back when you made those laws. That wasn't a slow progression. When you locked those people up and started the three-strike laws, and then you got the disparity between the crack cocaine versus the powder cocaine, those were harsh laws, okay? Harsh laws that affected millions of families and communities. Like, when we talk about the crack era and the war on drugs, those were specific, systematic attacks on the black community and the black family by removing the black male. We're talking about people who were in jail who had got life sentences because they got caught with some rocks for the third time. You see what I'm saying? Like, these damages are huge and had a huge effect on the community. So now we got to take small steps. But in the beginning, they took big steps. You see what I'm saying? So we just have to be careful and look at these policies and really pay attention to what they're doing, because a lot of times when it comes to these policies, they come up with this fancy language and it sounds good on the surface. But when you do more digging, you see that it's full of crap and nothing's happening. So that's why I'm a little reluctant to be all the way on board. I have to see what the effects are. You see what I'm saying? Before I actually be like, okay, yeah, this is a good thing, I have to actually see what are going to be the long-term effects.
Let me throw this little bit of information. Mm-hmm. I know we way overdue with taking a call, so let me just throw this out. The name of the man, his name was Matthew Charles. Matthew Charles. He was the first prisoner released under the First Step Act. He was sentenced to 35 years for selling crack cocaine and related offenses in 1996. You know, also while being locked up, he became a law clerk in prison.
Isn't that the same guy that had got out and then a year later, a year or two later, they made him go back and said that he needed to finish that's not him.
No, that's not him. I remember that story, though.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I remember that story.
Okay, I shouldn't have
yeah,
him.
That wasn't him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But then, okay, let me say this too real fast. Are you? I'm sorry, Foster, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done because I was going to see if you was ready to take a call, but you said you wanted to say something. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Right. Because I agree with Brother Kevin on that, on the law, too, because it's, to me, it's like this. If you steal $200 from me and you later on say, you know what, I'm a changed person, I recognize what I did was wrong, you know. But say you got enough money to pay me back when you come to this realization. But instead of giving me my $200 back because you know you took it from me and you was wrong, you just like, you know, I'm gonna just give her $10. And then when I want to give her $10 more, I'm gonna give her $10 more. Why not just, if these people was in prison and they shouldn't be in there for all their time, why not just let them all out? Why got to be a big process? That's what I don't understand about the law. But we can go into a call because I know they complain. Take up a few more time, too. So let's take a call. Area code 315-767. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Hey there, Collective Minds. This is Zen.
Bonjour.
Yeah. Yep. Hanging out on the road here.
Hey.
I got it.
That's good.
I caught the State of the Union address myself after, you know, Brother Mustafa reminded me that it was going on. I was driving through the whole thing, so I watched it late. But what I took out of it, because you guys talked about a whole lot of it, but you didn't talk about the reactions of the audience. Watching the reaction of the audience and seeing who's doing what and who's frowning here and who's applauding there, who's wearing all white, killing babies, you know, that's the stuff that I was seeing in there as well.
That show was my next thing I was going to add. Do you know who those women were in all white? Who were those women?
Those are Democratic Socialists. They're the women that are trying to destroy the United States. They're the women that think it's great to kill born babies.
Mm.
They're the women that think that it's great to empower women at the disadvantage of men and then say that men are bums.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the women that are one little policy at a time dismantling the America that we know and love and creating this hellhole that we're finding ourselves in. As they walked in there with all their white, but they forgot the one last piece of their white outfit. They forgot their hoods.
Woo! The America that we know and love, which America is this? The America that we know and love, which America is this?
The America where you can get in your car. No, the America where you can come out of your house, get in your car, drive down the street, buy some gas, go to a grocery store, get some food, take it back and feed your family because you also have a job. And no one's out there trying to rob you if you're doing the right thing and doing what you're supposed to be doing. Now, if you're in an area where it's like that, because you're in America, you have the option to leave that area and go seek to better yourself. Not in all countries do you have that option, but you have that option in America. And they want to take that option away from everybody because they want
everybody to live
like those people in the slums.
Carl, I'd like to also throw something out there. I don't know if it matters or not, but I've been to other countries and we were able to go to the store, get food. So, you know, get food and go to the grocery store and buy food and cook and things like that. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
great.
I mean,
because
that's
when we go to the other countries, when we go to other countries, we go to the part of the countries where we're invited to go. We don't go to see the real neighborhoods of those countries. We go to the visitor areas of those countries.
Mm-hmm.
That's saying when people come when people come to America, they go to the tourist spots. They don't really duck off in the hood and see what's really going on.
No, they don't.
Right.
But those people in those other countries that live in those hoods don't have the opportunity, like the people that live in our hoods, to leave those hoods. I could have been in the hood. I could have been in the hood right now to this day. I could have been dead in the hood. But I took advantage of my opportunities and I left. My brother and my sister are still in the hood because they decided that's where they like being.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Because they live in America, even having a hood life is good.
Did you notice them women in Roger, Brother Kez, did y'all notice them women in the white, too? Because
I didn't notice them.
I noticed that. Yeah, I noticed that. They all had on white now. The two Trump daughters had on white, too.
The only thing that those women applauded, out of everything that was said, they only applauded three things. They applauded when the ICE officer was congratulated for freeing the enslaved girls that were being sex trafficked, and that's only because they realized what was being said and they stopped not listening. And it's like, oh, we better get up and say yay for freeing women that were being sex trafficked. We gotta applaud that. Then they applauded
right.
that there were more women working to this day, to now than there was in the past, which is not a good thing. The only reason that they want women to work is so they can tax them and bring down the market wages. They can bring down the wages that they pay everybody. The more women that get into the workplace, the lower the wages will be, and the more people they can tax. And they got up and applauded that mess.
Yeah, and why they working, and why the women working,
and then the third,
why all these women working, ain't nobody taking care of the kids.
Yep, and the third thing they applauded was being able to kill babies. That's it.
Right.
They
now,
didn't like
I don't know
anything
if this is a,
else that was said.
I don't know
they
if
like
this was a mistake, but
that was it.
Ivanka Trump and Laura Trump were white, too. Like, I don't know. I just want to put that out there. I don't know if that was a mistake on their part, but they all – oh, Tiffany Trump. I'm sorry. Ivanka and Tiffany and Melania wore – they both were white. All three of them were white. So I don't know if that was a mistake.
I don't think they were a part of that, though.
Right. But they were white. I'm just saying. I just want to put that out there. But, yeah, I noticed that. And, you know, Pelosi is the majority leader for the Democrats, and she was behind Trump, and they kind of made a big
Bubbling
deal
all
how
along.
She gave that little tramp. She gave her a little clap, kind of a condescending clap about the he made a remark or something. But, you know.
But, yeah, I was enjoying the reactions. The way y'all watch football is the way I kind of watch those politics. I was watching the DOJ advisory commission on talking about the our acting attorney general right now. I was watching them ask him a bunch of silly questions, and that was what I was watching earlier today.
Yeah, William Barr or whatever, I think.
Yeah, I was watching that earlier today. But those are the things that
yes,
I like
indeed.
To watch. And I like to see the reactions of the people in the room and kind of weigh where they're at in their heads. So that's all
right.
I just wanted to comment on that. Oh, and one more. One more comment. This is about the wall. So you're saying that it's all Donald Trump's fault that we're shutting down the government because of the wall situation. I got 2 points here to make. One, he's pushing the wall because his constituency that voted him in want the wall. So it's his job to meet the agenda which got him the office. Two, if this wall is so unnecessary and so expensive and they don't work, why did we give Israel $38 billion to build a wall between them and the Gaza Strip?
Anybody want to answer
that? 51st. We can't have $5 billion to build our wall, but we can give Israel $38 billion to build a wall that doesn't work and it separates people.
Agreed. And I'm not a big supporter of the state of Israel.
One's talking on that. No one's arguing about that.
Israel wall doesn't work.
But to build our own wall, it's a travesty. To give $38 billion U.S. dollars of our tax dollars to another country to build something that doesn't work, according to everybody
right.
that's saying walls don't work,
so
we gave them $38 billion to build a wall.
So why do we do that? Why was that okay? Why everybody is cool with that?
Why is that cool? Why is that not?
I mean, it's a lot of stuff
about?
That I'm not. Exactly, I agree.
Why is
not talking about?
But
it, why?
It's hypocrisy.
The reason we're not building the wall
is because Donald Trump. That's the only reason. That's the only agenda the Democrats have for not building the wall is to stick it in Donald Trump's eye. That's it.
But why?
It's petty.
I still want to hear that question get answered because Brother Kev was about to answer, and I think Roger was going to say something too. Why was there no pushback for the Israel wall? Why was there no pushback in that? But why are we getting the pushback for the wall being built here?
Because Israel is the 51st state, and Israel controls – the United States is a big supporter of Israel when it comes to foreign policy. So Israel, what Israel says, basically goes. And if they want money for a wall, they will get money for a wall. And the Democrats and Republicans are in on that. Before you become a U.S. president, you must support Israel, period, point blank. So that's why they got it. Now, I'm not with that. I don't support none of that. You dig what I'm saying? So...
But you don't. I don't hear you talk about shutting down the government, and I shut down the government over that $38 billion for a wall.
Yeah, I wouldn't say shut down the government for anything,
but they didn't
really.
They didn't shut down the government, did they?
No.
No, they didn't.
But so why is it such a big deal to give us $5 billion for our own wall?
Yeah.
That we want.
Well, I don't think that wall in Israel is that effective, but. They still have their set of issues and problems.
But we gave them seven times as much money.
Seven times.
For something that doesn't work, according to the same people who passed the bill and says, well, we don't need a wall because it doesn't work. But let's give them $38 billion to spend on something that doesn't work. So we just throw $38 billion down the drain and then shut down our government over it? Take a look at
this
the hypocrisy. This ain't something Donald Trump's doing. This ain't Donald Trump wants to shut down the government.
It's bigger than Donald Trump.
It's McConnell, really.
The Democrats want
McConnell.
To shut down the government to poke Donald Trump in the eye. That's it. That's all.
It's not Donald Trump. It's Mitch McConnell. That's who really doing it.
He wants to poke Donald Trump in the eye, and that's the whole basis of this whole situation. But the voters voted for Donald Trump, and Donald Trump's agenda was the wall. So therefore, the wall should be on the docket.
Yep.
For me, whether or not the wall's on the docket or not, I'm not worried about that. They can battle that out. I'm saying don't shut the government down over this battle. That's all I'm saying.
Easy,
they can debate
it.
They can
put the $5 billion in the bill.
They cannot do the wall. They can talk about it, all that. I'm saying don't shut
the
government down.
Put the $5 billion in the bill.
Decision.
On America with the government shut down, it had very little effect, very little impact really on America shutting the wall down. Sure, there was about 800,000 workers who weren't getting paid, but those workers knew going into a government job that was going to happen, that could happen. In case that happened.
Right, but the long term effects. We gotta be honest. The long term effects would start to affect the economy. Long term. That's why he had
to
reopen it because
it
was getting to a point.
It didn't affect me.
It was going to start affecting the economy.
It was going to start affecting the people on welfare, and that was going to cause rioting. And we can't have that. That's about it.
Well, we'll see because coming up, it's going to be they got to get to a point where they're going
to
shut it down again, or he's going to declare a state of emergency. So, I'm just sitting back with my popcorn and just watching and seeing what's going
on.
Same here. And just kind of
But I like how he pointed that out though. Of how we really need to be seeing and looking at who's causing a real problem here. And it's just like he said, we can approve all this money. Money got approved for Israel to get what they want. But for Trump to get this wall done here, it's a big ordeal. I got to threaten the government shutdown and threaten other actions to get y'all to come on and give me what I was voted in on. But everybody pointing the finger. Everybody pointing the finger at Trump is, well, it's your fault. And it's not his fault. It's the, they should approve for the funds and just go ahead and build a wall and quit tripping. So let's point the fingers where it really needs to be pointed at. The same
people
that was down with money getting approved for Israel's wall should be up down with this wall getting done here. Quit stopping it. Just go ahead and make it happen. They the real people that we should be pointing the finger at, saying, dang, y'all causing a big old mess. Why the president got to go through all these extremes?
Folks over there in white, rewatch the State of the Union. All those ladies in that corner dressed in white, that's the main portion of the problem. And then the white knights that stand up with them, because vagina, those guys are the problem.
Hey, and I hate to say this, Brother Kev, and there was quite a few black women in that group.
Oh, yeah, it was mostly black women in that group with their wearing white, but
because
you know,
they get paid off of
like,
poverty. They reap
of
rewards
course, yeah,
off of their
the
people being
party.
In poverty.
That's the Democratic
they
Party, which leads me
off people being in poverty. Now look at it that way. The minute people
everybody
can prosper,
does.
They lose their power.
Yeah. Capitalism loses power if you don't have poor people. You dig what I'm saying? The whole caste system relies on people being poor and ignorant. But that leads me to my
not
next topic.
Not as poor and
that
ignorant as
get,
we are.
But that leads me to my next topic that I want to get you guys' opinion on, and then we can take
it. Hey, thank y'all
caller.
For having me on.
Yes.
Right on,
appreciate
man.
You, caller. Appreciate it. Yeah, so the next thing I want to get y'all opinion on, because we can talk about the wall and all that. We did that last show. But there is a new hashtag that is going on with a new black agenda, right? So we got people, as far as going into 2020, we got a lot of people throwing their hat into the ring. And most notably, as far as the quote-unquote black candidates, they're talking about Kamala Harris and Cory Booker. Now, these two candidates, Kamala Harris was a California state senator. She used to be the attorney general for the state of California. And Cory Booker used to be in the state senator as well. He used to be the mayor of North. But what I'm seeing online and what I am loving is I'm seeing a black political maturity that is happening, because a lot of black people are saying, and they have this new hashtag, which is hashtag ADOS, which means a descendant of slaves. And they're pushing this hashtag to get some tangibles for 2020, basically get some tangibles for black Americans descended of slaves. And they're putting pressure on these politicians, especially the Democrats, since black people have, you know, faithfully and blindly voted Democrat for the last, you know, 40, 50 years. They're putting pressure on these candidates to come with a black agenda, right? And I'm loving that, because I think it's about time that black people start asking for specific things for them, because we are an exceptional people, and we have a unique history, especially when in this country, being that we are the foundation and we built this country. We deserve exceptional, you know, benefits due to the fact that, you know, our community, since we were released out of slavery, our communities have been systematically targeted by government policies. You dig what I'm saying? So it's about time that we put an agenda, get on code, and don't be scared to ask these politicians to come with a black agenda. So with that, I don't know if y'all seen Cory Booker, but he had an interview on The Breakfast Club the other day, and Charlamagne asked him, he was like, look, do you have a you know, do you have an agenda for black people? And he went on babbling, you know, for about 5 or 10 minutes. And Charlamagne asked him again, but do you have an agenda for black people? And he really couldn't come up with nothing. He basically just went on babbling, talking. So his campaign is pretty much shot with the black vote. I think he's done. Kamala Harris, her record is so terrible in California as far as when it comes to black people, she's done. So these people, especially the Democratic Party, they are basically scrambling because they're going to have to address black people specifically. You know, they had that benign neglect policy where they said they just not go mention black people at all. You know, they just not go bring them up. They'll use words like urban and poor and all these other kind of vague terms, civil rights, all these vague terms in order to imply that black people would get benefits. But when it comes down, black people see nothing. So what do y'all think about that as far as black people holding these politicians accountable and actually asking, do y'all have something specifically for black people, or black, we just not going to vote for you? You know, we'll write somebody in or do something else, but if you don't have something specific for black people like you do these other groups, we're not going to vote for you. What do y'all think about that? Do you think that's a good thing, or you?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's how you know, the voting practice should go anyway. You know, why would I vote for somebody that's not, you know, like, why am I voting for you? You know, like, why am I voting
right.
for you? For what? You know,
right.
so yeah, I think that's just important to, you know,
indeed.
To operate that way. It just makes more sense, you know.
Right. Mufasa, what you think, bro?
Yeah, we should always have an agenda at hand, you know, that we hold people accountable on, you know, and that's with any candidate. And if
right.
If you ain't pushing
yeah.
our agenda, you don't get our vote. And if you in there and we find out that you're not handling business, then when it's re-election time, you know you don't get our vote. But, yeah, that's
yeah.
the thing, too. When we not only do we have to have that agenda, but we got to hold these people accountable.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah, y'all
want to
check with the call line again?
Roger.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go take area code 314-381. Caller, you know, we're Collecting Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hey, where were y'all last week?
Hey, we had a holiday, man.
Yeah,
holiday.
That suffered don't never have holidays.
Let me handle this, y'all. Let me handle this. It was the biggest holiday for the world, the Super Bowl, the glorious, fantastic sport of football. Everything had to stop. Everything had to cease to exist. Even Collective Minds Radio.
All right. Well, but no, the State of the Union speech was excellent. The points that he pointed on, he reached out and tried to say that we're supposed to be doing things best for the country as a whole. You guys keep talking about the government shutdown. You know, the Republicans that has always wanted to have a bill to stand alone. Other words, you can't be putting pork, quote unquote, in bills. And just like Obamacare, Nancy Pelosi said you have to pass the bill before you know what's in it, which is dumb. But he won't sign a bill if he didn't have what his constituents want. And I'm happy that it did work this way, because what he's doing, he's allowing due process. Because if he implement executive action and go on his own, there's going to be lawsuits that's going to be coming into the courts, and the courts are going to say, well, the process of due process was carried out, whereas things could be settled the normal way, but it didn't. The outcome was not addressing the emergency, the problem of the southern border. So he done a very good thing. Donald Trump is a very intelligent person, too, a very wise man, Alpha. I really appreciate this. People need to study him.
You know, I would agree. I got to agree with that. I thought, and honestly, going in, I thought this was going to be one of the most comedic, stupidest things ever. When Trump got in, I was like, well, one thing for sure, he's going to be entertaining. But I must admit, I've sat back and watched his movements, how he's getting down, and I agree with you. He is shown to be a smart, wise man, shown that he can, make adjustments, that he can make adjustments when he has to.
Yes, he comes
to make corrections.
I recognize it because I have been in some critical business myself. See, people that have never been in critical business where you have to negotiate, you have to, and the thing is, a written contract is something relatively new in our industry. We used to agree upon something, one side of the table to the other, and we shook hands, and you kept your word. It's not all these lawsuits. I never had a lawyer on staff. I had an accountant, no lawyers, because we done things by handshake, basically. Of course, you do have to sign. When I done Vashon High School, I had to sign a contract, yes. Matter of fact, all the schools I've done in St. Louis Public School District. But no, the man is a very excellent person at what he does.
Now, look, I will give, this is what I'm going to give Donald Trump. I will give Donald Trump this. He is good at working the media. He is good at PR and being in front of the media. Basically, he bullies the media, tells them what he's going to do. He can lie, and that lie may become a truth, but he's good at that. Now, as far as business, if we look at his record, we're talking about his record, and his record is open for anybody who want to do their Googles. A lot of his businesses have failed. I could just point to Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City, New Jersey, as one
big
failure.
Well, let's talk about the Taj Mahal.
I can point to this Trump in Soho, the Trump
well,
in
let's
Soho,
talk about one
which
at
is
a
recently.
Time.
Okay, one
you,
at a
you
time.
Can
but
put
both
them all
of
out.
Those
you
were
put them all out there.
Right. But I'm saying both of those were two huge failures. This man has filed bankruptcy multiple times in business, which bankruptcy, depending on where you want to go, it can
all
be
right,
a bad
all right,
thing.
Let's,
but when you're
all
filing
right,
multiple
I'm gonna let you
times,
get it in there. I'm going to let you get it in
Trump
there. I'm going to show you where you made mistakes.
We're talking about Trump University falling. We're talking about
I'm
going
to show
Trump
you where
State.
You made mistakes thus far, and you continue on to make mistakes, Kevin. Come on now. Let's
okay, but what I'm saying is, what I'm
sit
saying
on your
is,
hands.
As a what I'm saying is, as a businessman, Trump is terrible, and he's going to basically do the same thing.
All right, you said that. You said that. Let me reiterate.
Which is run
nobody,
the federal government into the ground.
All right, who do you know that would pay $35,000 to listen to someone talk about business? Trump has seminars where people pay $35,000 to listen to him. I think it's for 2 days. I'm not sure how long it is. So if other business people are willing to pay that kind of money, just like you go and learn about flipping houses and pay $20, people paying $35,000 to listen to him. So he must be an expert
in what
he's
doing.
That
is the cult of personality. That is the cult of celebrityism. That's his name. That is
they
people
was doing it
liking
before
Donald
he even
Trump.
Had his TV
That's people
show,
liking
Kevin.
Donald Trump. That's people wanting to
hang on for
have
a second.
A
hang on for
him.
A second.
They like his personality and things like that. They like
hang
he's
on
a
for
cool
a second,
guy.
Man. Wait a minute.
That's
wait a minute. I'm gonna
is.
Let you put that in there.
Nothing.
We'll let you put that in there. We'll let you put that in there.
That's what that is.
You're talking about his personality. I guess you're talking about his TV show. This was going on before he even got on TV.
Right, but Trump
had
a name
before he got on
TV. Yeah, but Trump had a name before he got on TV, right or
wrong? He had a business
name.
Right,
but his
businesses
were failing.
And here's another point.
His businesses were failing.
Here's another point. Like, for instance, that deal in New Jersey, it wasn't him that caused that reneged. It was the city that reneged. So just like in the city of St. Louis, where they promised all these things for Paul McKee to come in and want to develop an area, putting in sewers, putting in infrastructure, and giving them TIF, tax incremental financing, and all of a sudden the city said, well, we can't do it. Guess what? Your investors say, well, we don't have a way, according to the initial plan, to recoup our money. So absolutely, yes, they're going to pull out. And the Constitution allows bankruptcies. There's nothing wrong with that. When you bankrupt, you are salvaging what you can in assets in order to satisfy your creditors. That's what you're supposed to do.
Okay, now look at this, though. What's better? Now, we know that filing, okay, that may be some business time, but he's filed multiple times. What I'm
saying
is, that don't
make no difference.
But look,
if you got, if you only got one black soap and one Kente cloth shop, you can only file one time.
Right, but let's look at this though. Is it better not to file or to file? If you have a successful business that's in profit, there's no reason to file. You file when that's your last
resort. Kevin, listen to what I
said.
Did anybody hear? Wait a minute. Hang on for a second. Did y'all hear what I said? I say you allow the file bankruptcy in order to salvage the integrity of the assets so that you can pay the creditors. Have you ever heard of these instances where a creditor sends somebody a bill, then after it goes through court and everything, they can only collect 20 cents on the dollar? You want them to collect 100% of the dollar, not 20 cents on the dollar. So that's why you file bankruptcy. You pay off your pertinent credit. You pay your taxes. You pay your taxes off because you are obligated to the trust fund.
You want to bring up taxes with Trump? We don't want to go there. You don't want to.
It's not required for a politician to submit their taxes. If that's the case, let's talk about John Lewis taxes. Now, let's go on Fremo. The jobs that have been created, even in the St. Louis area, you got three major manufacturers that have started. And, of course, it wasn't in St. Louis proper, but it was in Missouri, in Defiance, Missouri. And I can't think of the other city that Nucor is doing. And I keep constantly talking about it, right across the river, when you pass by Granite City Steel's entrance gate, they got a big sign on there. We are hiring. St. Louis County, you've got signs on their fences. We are hiring. So that's a good thing. And not to mention, the business tax have been decreased. You see where businesses are taking those decreases and lowering the cost of the consumable things that they're selling consumers. Look at gasoline. Down here in Louisiana, it's like $1.69 a gallon. That's because the United States is a net exporter of petroleum products. Obama, Obama had placed restrictions where businesses couldn't work. So the man is doing a good job.
What about the Trump businesses that did do good? There's a lot. He had businesses that were very successful, Brother Kale.
Which one? Please explain.
The
one
that the Democrats tried to get him to divest from. Those ones.
I can tell you all the ones that failed. Now, tell me some successful businesses besides his TV show. And that just has that's just ratings.
Which ones were the Democrats wanting him to divest from?
Exactly.
So they were the ones that's still going on.
Exactly. No, you can't tell me any of his successful businesses because they're few and far between to the ones that did fail. But no, we just talk about that. Like, we always get on Trump's hands. I don't want to go there, but I want to ask you.
I
want to
talk about another thing.
We do have another column.
Real quick, this one
white
woman talking about $100 billion for reparations. Hell, if you can't have $5 billion for a wall, forget about $100 billion for reparations. And who's going to get it anyway? And the courts have already said that so-called slave descendants do not have standing to demand reparations for ancestors.
We do have standing. What are you talking
about?
No,
you
do
not. The Seventh Circuit said that you don't have standing.
Okay, well, then that's fine. Well, then we won't. Then none of these presidential candidates will get the black vote. You see? So that's fine. But
if Trump runs again,
as the descendants of slaves, we absolutely deserve reparations because there were certain policies put in place to negatively affect black people.
There's
we're
nothing
about
that
redlining.
You can tie.
We're talking about home loans. We're talking like, I mean, all this stuff.
Man, what
does
that got to do? Home loans ain't got to do nothing with slavery.
It has something to do with building wealth. If you're denying veterans coming home from World War I,
that
and
wasn't
World War
the
II,
federal
if
government.
You're denying these.
That was the federal government.
It was
that
not
was
the federal government.
That was the federal government.
You can't
Do
show
you
me where the federal
please.
Government is responsible for slavery except for one place, and I ain't going to tell you.
No, I'm not talking about slavery. I'm talking about home loans. This is what I'm talking about.
Well, that's what reparations is about. The lawsuit was about reparations for slavery.
It's about, it starts from there all the way up through Jim Crow, segregation, redlining.
Kevin,
all these
Kevin,
things
actually,
are
actually
are
the,
on
actually the,
table.
Actually, the lawsuit was against some corporations. Banks, J.P. Morgan, CSX Railroad,
right.
so on, so on, so on. And it had to
yeah.
do with several things. One was there fraud committed? Another was that was two more, and I can't think of them right away. But the courts threw them all out. They dismissed them, but they did allow prejudice, whereas you can bring them back if you wanted to. But the thing is, oh, yeah, another one was that whether blacks who say that they're descendants of slaves, do they have a right? Do they have a right to file suit on behalf of those slaves? And the court said, no, you don't, because they did not give you the right to do so.
Why don't we have the right? And you can give reparations to Jewish people. You can give reparations to Japanese people who
All
are
right,
in
stop it right
camps.
There. Hang on. Wait a minute.
So-called Native Americans could get
wait
land allotments.
Wait a minute.
And these type of
wait
benefits.
A minute, Kevin.
So what's the? Let's be. Let's keep
hold
it
your
real.
Hands. Hold your hands. The federal government never gave Jews a dime. The federal government never gave.
What?
What's that other group? How is the federal government going to give Jews money when the event did not occur on the United States soil?
We just got through saying they just gave money to Israel to build a wall, but even before that, they rebuilt Germany.
Listen, that's
under
the modern terms.
World War II,
those are things
they rebuilt Germany.
That has nothing to do. Well, they give money to Africa for developmental reasons under USAID.
No. So why isn't it developed? No, they want to keep Africa undeveloped and take the resources.
They give black people participate.
Honest,
blacks participate in. All right, blacks participate in free schools, government schools. They participate in affirmative action. They participate
action.
In the SNAP. They participate in the SNAP
action.
Program.
In my Drake voice, affirmative action. The biggest beneficiary of affirmative action is white women. Carl,
well, you
need
to get
you
off
to
your butt
Googles.
And get ahead of the line of the white
Googles.
Women.
I need you to do your Googles. Affirmative action was
But
was
what
a
I was
scam.
Saying is that you cannot show where the federal government would be responsible for paying slave descendants reparation. But one place, and I ain't
okay.
going to tell you where that is.
Missouri.
All right, get to the next call. I'll hang on.
All right, we appreciate
you. Wait a minute,
hold on,
Carla. We got another caller. Do we still have a caller? I thought the caller was gone.
Go ahead. Right. He said, really, guys. That wasn't me.
That was mostly guys.
It was mostly guys.
I just forgot what I was asking the caller. Oh, who's responsible for paying? If the federal government isn't. That's not what's
happening. The federal government had nothing to do with slavery. As a matter of fact, slavery has only been twice.
I'm not debating that. I'm just asking. You say the federal government is not responsible for paying it back. I was asking who is responsible.
I said only
the
one
state.
Place, and I'm not telling. Yeah, now you want to talk about
right,
Jim Crow, you got to go to the states. And see,
right,
but here's
and
the
I
thing.
I agree with that, but
here's
but
the thing.
What we're doing is, this is what we're doing. You are correct in the states are majority responsible for slavery, but when we're asking for redress and we're asking for reparations, we're looking to the federal government to provide those because we know that the state governments are not going to do it, or it would be
well, they the one that would
to,
be responsible.
Be
here's
challenge.
Another thing.
Right. It
here's
be a
another
challenge
thing.
To go to each state and do it when you can just go to the federal government. And
here's
tell them,
here's
you know.
Another thing. You know, I'm going to tell you something. You need to listen to me because I know these things a lot older than you and used to be heavily involved in them. Because what you're saying
bro.
Is y'all talking from emotion. I don't want you to listen to this.
No,
yes,
no.
you are talking from
I
emotion. Because here's
no,
the thing. You're saying that you cannot prove that your conditions would have been one way or the other if there was no slavery. You can't prove it that it would be one way or the other if the railroads did not. See, here's another thing. Insurance companies insured slaveholders. All right? Insurance companies were located in the northern states where slavery was forbidden before the 13th Amendment.
It is
okay.
What it is.
So how can you say that if the insurance you can't say that the businesses that they insured was profitable? It's a whole thing. You can't show where companies profit
what?
Off of slavery because you can't see their books.
What? No, you're not serious.
Do you understand what I'm saying? When you sue somebody, you sue them for what's left over, just like bankruptcy. Bankruptcy allows you to pay your creditors, then the rest of it gets divided up if you're a corporation against your shareholders. So you cannot show where those slaveholders who had insurance policies by Aetna, for instance, was profitable in their slave holding. You can't show it.
Yes, I can, and I'm going to point you to one source.
Kevin, wait a minute. Hang on real quick. You had your best black lawyers in the country. Johnny Cochran,
okay.
Willie Gantt,
right.
your dream team lawyers. They could not prove to the courts, and the courts dismissed the whole damn thing.
No, they were well on their way to getting that case together. But let me point you to this, Colin. I don't know if you have time, but
no,
you
I ain't gonna let you
book.
Get away with that because you got people out there that listen to soundbites. It was dismissed. Judge Nargo in California dismissed it. They appealed to the Seventh Circuit, and the Seventh Circuit overturned Judge Nargo, one portion of it, but the rest of it, the Seventh Circuit dismissed, and the Supreme Court would not hear
it.
Exactly. Okay. Fair enough. Let me get this out real quick because he's looking for receipts as far as how you can say that there's no way you can tie reparations to slavery.
You can't show where the slaveholders was profitable.
And I'm about to show you a book.
All right, go ahead. Let me see how you know.
That details that the slaveholders were profitable, and it gives you receipts as far as the insurance company and bank that you were talking about that insured these slaves. It is called The Half Has Never Been Told, Slavery and the Making of American Capitalism by Edward Baptiste. Please do your Googles. You can rewind. It's on audio book.
Oh,
so,
When was that book written?
This book was written. It's recent. Hold on. Give me one second. This is a recent book, and it was very well documented. Give me one second.
While you're doing that, Brother Kev, after you get through coming up with that, Kev, I want both of y'all to tell me what y'all thought about Stacey Abrams real fast, her rebuttal.
Was stupid. You know why?
I did too.
Because she said she didn't even watch the report. So what is she going to rebut on?
It is what it is.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I agree. Her rebuttal. She was very disappointing. Very disappointing to me.
Copyright 2014.
Well, the information that he referred to was available in 2005 when the second portion of the case was heard.
Right. Okay.
You don't know. Nobody knows. Here's
out.
Another thing. Here's another thing, Kevin. Federal government, see, these slaveholders were not reporting to the federal government. The most they would be reporting to was the states. The states don't even have the record. So, if
they
you had expenses.
They kept records of that. They kept
they
very
don't,
detailed
the,
records of the profits.
They don't
do you
have
know
the
how
bookkeeping.
Big cotton was? Do you know how big
Listen,
cotton was in America at that time?
That,
it was the biggest
Yeah, but how
export.
Much did it cost for them to
they
grow the cotton?
They basically clothed the world. It
well,
was
how
free.
Much did
they
it cost?
Free labor.
How much did it
free
cost to
labor.
Grow the cotton?
Free
you had to
labor,
have horses.
Sir.
The horses had to have
free
feed.
Labor.
They had to have water.
But we're talking about free labor, and you're giving the slaves.
The labor was not free. They had to provide clothes for the slaves. They had to provide housing and food.
Stop it. But that, come on, caller. Are you really saying that? Really?
That is true.
Really? Really?
Don't you always talk about how slaves was given
hand
me down?
Now you're being funny. Now you're being
funny. I'm not being funny. I'm being serious.
It doesn't. So you think it costs more to just clothe and house and feed a slave than to
pay them
a wage?
Done that business before, using them.
When
I couldn't tell you.
When they weren't giving them the food
Come on,
Carla.
I want y'all to listen to this.
Show me the profit
and loss statement, the expenses and the income and what was left over.
Listen, Carly, you're not listening.
You can't show it.
The book details. It shows that. I'm telling you, the book details this. It has the ledgers that they had, that they were profitable. Of course they were profitable.
Give the name of that
you have
one
people
more
working
time,
for
brother.
Free.
But I'm telling you, Bob.
The half has never been sold.
Yeah, but listen to this, Kevin.
And
you keep forgetting.
Of American capitalism.
Can somebody understand what I'm saying? Can somebody understand what I'm saying? You did not pay nothing to the federal government. No slave. There was no federal income tax back then. Federal income tax didn't come around to 1913. God damn, man.
Are
you silly?
So you saying they didn't pay taxes? What are you saying?
There was no federal income tax. Federal income tax came into being with Woodrow Wilson.
But we're not talking about that. We're talking about these people were profitable.
Yeah, but profitable to who? They was
slavery.
Not profitable to the federal government.
The federal government, not to the federal government.
And some states were not even admitted into the union till way after that. Mississippi didn't ratify the 13th Amendment until 1976.
Please.
God dog
it. Yeah, that's. I mean, he got you there, brother Kev.
No, he didn't. What are you talking about? You're not making any sense. But
how are you
going to
tie
the
federal government in as profiting when they were not paying income tax? It was no income tax law.
Okay, so you saying they were not paying. Like I said, read the book, my brother, and come back and holler at me.
I don't need to read the book. If you're trying to tie the federal government being responsible for slavery, saying that the federal government profit off of slavery, that's a lie. There was no income tax till 1913.
We're not talking about income tax. We're not talking about income tax.
So if there was no income tax, why would the slaveholders owe anything to the federal government?
So you're saying they didn't, who did they pay taxes to?
Get case on that, brother
K. All right, I'm getting ready to get off here. Let me tell y'all this. You spell my name like this. P-I-A-N-K-I was here.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, no, it doesn't tell me. He didn't write it out like that. He spelled it out,
yes,
the name, and rolled out. Mm. Brother Kev
was talking a whole bunch of nothing. Now, come on,
Brother
y'all.
Nothing, Master Gas.
How would you be going against, if you're a black person, you're going against somebody talking about reparations? That's foolish. I don't get that. That's foolish to me. And you know that some of your ancestors were enslaved. And you know about Jim Crow, or maybe you don't know about Jim Crow, about segregation, about redlining, about FHA loans, which is a federal program to give people loans, which started the white flight to the suburbs. Come on, y'all. Stop playing.
This sounds like a debate.
This sounds like a debate for another day. Debate.
Hey.
There's no debate. Do your Google.
We're getting ready to ride out.
We're going to have to get Pianchi back.
Did you agree? Yeah, did you agree with that real quick, Brother Kev, about, you know, old girl from, at the end who did her rebuttal?
Thank
that you rebuke? You agree with that, though, right? That her rebuttal was a little off?
I'm going to be honest. I didn't even listen to it because it's the same.
Okay.
I'm not a Democratic fan, so you could be correct. I don't know.
Hey, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. Peace. Continue to follow us, Collective Minds Radio, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, email us.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the curve, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's